Allow me to briefly preach in your hearing tonight how to hope. Not how to have hope, but how to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their Messianic Expectation, Part 24. The Second Coming of Christ, Chapel Sermon, if you will, 239. Second Coming Chapel, Message 239. Last week I read this entire passage to you. Tonight I'm just going to begin at verse 10. And Rahab is speaking, one of the great grandmothers of Jesus, even though she was a prostitute. There's a message in there, right there, at that point, but we're not dealing with that tonight. For we have heard, she said, how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. When ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Zion and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Some of you folks are worried about things that you have to deal with in your life. If you pray to God, God will do some things psychologically to your enemies that before the thing that you fear happens, he will make them so afraid that they'll back down if you pray to God. But anyway, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, please remember, Rahab was honored because her focus was not on the Israelites, but on the Lord your God. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She was convinced. She is a believer. Now therefore I pray you, since I believe in your God, let me talk to you. I'm getting ready to show with action how that I believe in your God. Now therefore I pray you. She was a negotiator. She knew how to talk to people. I pray you, and thank God for these people. I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness. Why? Because of my faith in your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not a Jew, but I believe in your God, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father. Thank God for the good daughters who look out for their father and their family. They may be out and about and doing things in the world. In this case, maybe doing things they should not be doing. But they still love and honor their father and their mother, and they help take care of the family, not just them, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Thank God for the good daughters who look out for the family and don't just forget about the family, and the good sons who do the same. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours." For these were the servants of the great God that she believed in. So she probably had some confidence that they will come through. She was getting her hope on. "If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain." By the way, anywhere you go in life, you will find somewhere God's people who will treat you kindly and help you get on with what God called you to do. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days." Let me help you. Let me show you how to get out of here now. Thank God for these people. "Until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." She was getting her hope on. This is an example for us today. "And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath." These were some serious God-fearers, "which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread." We don't talk about this much, but I believe that's a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This red thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father. You say, "Well, why does she have a scarlet thread?" Well, you know why. "And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household," not just you, everybody in your family, "home unto thee." Thank God for the folk who don't forget the family. "And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." Boy, this is a serious commitment. "And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words." And this was a woman of business. She knew how to make people commit. "So be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You told us in the New Testament to look back at the Old Testament for examples. And Lord, this is an example of how to hope, how to have faith in you, and to have the blessed hope always in our hearts and minds. And so, Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done and for what you are doing. And we thank you for allowing us to be here once again tonight. For Jesus Christ's sake, as your saints, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins. our failures and our faults. And Lord, make us fit for thine use. Cleanse us, each and every one of us, whiter than snow in the precious blood of Christ, afresh and anew, and fit us for your use. Oftentimes, Lord, it's not just the preacher in the church setting who needs to pray for forgiveness and cleansing to preach properly. The saints need to have their hearts right with you as well. Help them to get their hearts right, their spirits right, their attitudes right. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he does every Saturday. Lord, he fights, cast out our enemy, the devil, his demons and his hosts. Lord, in anybody's life who has this problem, help them not to be the doorway for the devil. Rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons and his hosts, from this time, as you did last night, as you've done many times. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow. And fill us afresh and anew with the fullness, the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. For without the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, nothing worthwhile would happen here tonight, as you know. For you have stated very clearly, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, Lord, we don't, in our flesh, we don't fully understand that. We don't get that. We want to do something. We want to be involved. We want to be Action Jackson and try to get it done ourselves. We don't fully understand that, Lord, and I doubt if we ever will, but we do know without the power of your Holy Spirit, nothing worthwhile will happen here tonight. Souls would not be saved. Christians would not be revived and encouraged to have hope, the blessed hope. And that's why we're here tonight, to help Christians learn how to hope properly, to stay in hope, to have hope, the blessed hope of the fact that you're coming back again just like you came the first time. In fact, the rapture could take place tonight according to your holy word. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons and his hosts, and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, and those who hate every good work. And Lord, we pray that you'll break it and bind it. And we pray that over 3 million souls would be saved, 3 million Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified at the name of Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name, amen. You may be seated. How to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation, part 24, Second Coming Chapel, message number 239. Dr. Robert Mounts said, redemptive history remains incomplete until Christ returns. It is for the final act in the great drama of redemption that the church awaits and hopes with longing. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our heart and our mind is on the second coming of Christ. in the newspaper strip, Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin's boss is catching him sitting at his desk, staring out the window. "Why aren't you working, Calvin?" Without much thought, Calvin confessed to his boss, "Because I didn't see you coming. That's why I'm not working, because I didn't see you coming." Sadly, ladies and gentlemen, in many ways, we are asleep in the church, and we don't see him coming. Consequently, we are not working. We're not laboring. We're not occupying until he comes. We're not working for the Lord as we should. So many of us, we are only busily involved with life's pursuits. Beloved, in our last message, we began looking at the story, the amazing story of one of the grandmothers, great-grandmothers of Jesus Christ, who happens to be a prostitute. A lady of the evening, as some would call her. Others would call her a whore. At the story of Rahab. Now we will continue looking at the parallels, if you will, between the story of Rahab and the hope we should have in the second coming of Christ. The two spies who met Rahab, if you will, can be likened to the first advent of Christ. When Jesus came, he warned the world of the wrath to come. He said, "Repent, and believe the gospel." He told them that the only way to be saved was to trust in him. However, only a few took heed. Just as the spies promised Rahab that she would be rescued from the coming destruction, Jesus promises those of us who are believers in him, Christians, that we will be rescued from the wrath to come, the tribulation period, and ultimately hell and the lake of fire, the coming destruction of the world and the wicked. The return of the Israelite army is like the future second advent of Christ, if you will. The first time the Israelites entered into Jericho, they came as spies. The second time, they came as conquerors. The first time Jesus entered the world, he came humbly and had no place to lay his head throughout his ministry. The second time, Jesus will return in power and glory, King of kings and Lord of lords. Like Rahab, waited for the Israelites to return, taking hope in the promise that she would be spared the death that was in store for the other people who did not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who dwelt in Jericho. We should be waiting for Jesus to return, occupying till he comes, staying busy serving him. And by the way, what are you doing? for Christ? What are you doing for God? What are you doing for the kingdom? What are you doing for others as I speak? Are you truly serving God? Are you truly trying to build up the kingdom? Whether you are a Southern Baptist or not, are you a part of the Hoosier One campaign? I'm sure you heard about it. I'm sure you have heard about it. You ought to have that in your heart anyway. You ought to be concerned, as we used to say back in the day, we ought to have a burden for souls. Where's your burden for souls? Are you interested in taking somebody with you to heaven? If you truly believe the Word of God, if you truly believe the Gospel, if you truly believe the Great Commission, if you truly believe that you're going to heaven because of your faith in Christ, why aren't you telling others about Him? Are you busy for the Lord? Are you doing something? God has a place for everybody to labor in His kingdom. Somebody wrote an article recently, is in the newspaper today, about God created extroverts and introverts, and we all have our jobs. We all have something to do. You might not be an extrovert person. You don't want to talk to a whole lot of people. You're afraid to talk to people. But you can do other things. You can pray. You can support the extroverts. You can pass out gospel literature. And if you have the ability to talk to other people, you're not afraid of people, you love being around people, you feed off of people, use that to tell them about Jesus. Don't tell me that Kanye West is going to be the one to bring revival to this country. Some are saying that right now. And if that's the case, that's fine with me. Just today, a Christian rapper who is not only a believer in Christ, but is somewhat of a scholar, Lecrae, has endorsed Kanye West and what he's doing. Will Kanye West be the next Billy Graham? Who knows? But at least he's doing something. What are you doing? As we hope and look forward to the second coming of Christ, we should be waiting for Jesus to return, taking hope in the assurance that Jesus will return as a conquering King. King of kings, Lord of lords, with all the hosts of heaven behind Him. However, even as we wait and hope, we should not be idle. We ought to be busy. Just as Rahab gathered all her family, thank God again for those daughters and sons who may go out into the world doing only God knows what, but they don't forget their family. They look back and make sure that their family is taken care of. I thank God, my older children who are not in the nest anymore, they do that. They do it from their heart. I don't have to ask them or plead with them. They do it from their heart out of love for God and for the work we have here to do, and for the family left behind. Rahab was looking out for her family. Just as Rahab gathered all her family members so that they could also be saved, we should warn all those we can of the wrath to come, the hell to shun, the heaven to gain, and urge them to put their faith in Christ so they can be saved along with us. How about it, dear Christian friend? Have you done that? Have you witnessed to everybody that you know God wants you to witness to? And we all have somebody. Who's your one? Where's your love? When was the last time you tried to witness to somebody, or you witnessed to somebody, or you gave them a gospel pamphlet? When was the last time, preacher, you preached the gospel? I know you preached on the family, and I know you preached on how to make it in this world and all of that. When was the last time you preached the gospel? I am totally convinced that if someone went into most so-called evangelical churches, Bible-believing churches, and was filled with the Holy Spirit of God and was anointed to preach the gospel, I'm convinced one-third of the people would walk forward and get saved if they just simply preached the gospel, a plain, clear understanding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe many people in church today are just religious. They're there for some help and have never been born again. Now, if you have never been born again, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in him tonight, because he is coming again and you do not want to be left behind. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and the consequences of sin, which is eternal hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." You will die. You will cease to exist on this earth because of your sin. I will die. We all will die because of sin. And make no mistake about it, dying is a very painful thing. Very unusual. It's a very sad thing. That's tragic within itself. It is a difficult thing in itself. Death. And hell, going to hell, is worse. So I would advise you strongly to trust Christ as your Savior today. Accept the fact also that you are on the road to hell. If you die without trusting Christ as Savior, you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place, otherwise Jesus Christ would not have spoken about it so much He preached on hell more than anybody in the Bible. He preached on hell more than he did about heaven, trying to warn you and me and everybody else not to go there. Trust in me. There's no other place for you to go but hell if you don't trust in me. I died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Believe on me. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Have you ever thought about that? You're saved from your sin, which causes hell. And so you're being saved from your sin and hell itself. It is a very serious matter. Some of you people have car insurance. Some of you people have life insurance. Some of you people have house insurance. Some of you people have health insurance, but you don't have eternal life insurance. And you need to get that resolved today. Hell is bad news. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place of darkness. And sadly, and most sadly to me, once you go to hell, you can't get out. There's no second chance. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. There's no more God for you, no more Jesus Christ. It is over. Yes, there will be a whole lot of praying in hell, but the prayers will not be answered. Hell is an awful place, and you should not want to go there. There will not be any parties in hell. Your buddies will not be in hell. In other words, they may be in hell, but you will not be able to see them because of the painful darkness in hell. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you tonight. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died. He suffered. He bled and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin in hell. Sin, your sin, causes the consequences of hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God, to be with Jesus, to be with the angels, and to be with the saints. I know it's a lot to get your head around, but it's true. And you can say with me, I may not understand it all, but I believe it all. And so, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, early one Sunday morning. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. by breaking your Ten Commandments, by taking your holy name in vain, by dishonoring my parents, by coveting after and lusting after people and things, by stealing things from others, and by lying about it. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. For I am guilty, and I deserve to go to hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my transgressions, my failures, and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who took my place, was buried and rose on the third day early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past, and to turn from my evil life to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Holy Bible that I just preached to you and read to you, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by believing on Him. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.